you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X, fit for you just as you are.
Welcome to Assassination Week. He peeled. Bang, bang. Timed explosive device. JFK, etc.
Hello, welcome to Assassination Week. I hope you liked that intro from our good friend who we commissioned to do that intro from. So big props to them for giving us like 10 seconds of their time to record that intro. Wow, it's been so long since we've been planning to do this.
Yep, but here we are talking about killing people.
It's great because when we first thought of Assassination Week, we're like, how are we going to fill 5 episodes? And then there's like so many more assassinations happening.
There were yeah. 2 the next day.
We've decided to stop imagining things into the ether. And so maybe Assassination Month is coming. Who knows?
Look, here's the thing. If people keep getting assassinated, we will do more assassination episodes.
That is the way it works.
Yep. That is sadly part of our job. So we've already done one, I guess. We did Shinzo Abe a little bit, but we're coming back to him.
We're gonna do Shinzo Abe
more
2
later because we have a lot more context information about the assassination now. But that is later this week. So we have 5 episodes, all about assassinations, most of which have happened or tried to happen this year. Most of these are going to be pretty topical.
Yeah. Mine is not, because
and the first
the person
one
I am.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, look, we got to start with a historical assassination. We can't completely have it be just randomly jumping back and forth between times. There has to be some kind of logic.
Yeah, yes. Well, the assassination is the logic, but today we're talking about ETA, a Basque nationalist leftist group. And more specifically, I guess, their Operación Ogro, the killing of Luis Carrero Blanco in Spain in 1973. It's like obviously not very, very current. It's often pointed to as like a very influential assassination, right? One that made a difference and made a change. Often it's called the only thing that ETA ever did to advance the cause of Spanish democracy, which I think, like, this is not a, and I'm sorry if you think that they're like based leftist terrorists. This is not a, generally as an organization, we don't like people who murder journalists. That's one of our stances. And so there's going to be a little bit of context around this that we need to give first. So maybe if we kick off with who they are, and then we can talk about that assassination in particular. How familiar are folks, do we think, with ETA? What do people know about them in the US?
Not at all.
Yeah, I think they're famous for this assassination and for having literally the worst outfits I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's like bold.
The combination of like the face mask and the beret is like one of the most unfortunate things I've ever seen. It is hideous. It is you got just wear the mask. It's cooler. It's batshit. It's awful. Oh, truly dog shit.
Okay, Chris came in with the fashion police early on. I say wear what you want. I think you all look great. And really alienating our ski mask and beret audience right at the start. So if you've managed to, you know, stick around through that hate speech, we're going to talk about ETA. They do like to wear a ski mask. It's part of an aesthetic, isn't it, though? Like, there's an aesthetic of, like, I guess, 1980s terrorism that is like Woodland Patton kind of DPU camouflage, DPM camouflage, a cheap black ski mask, a balaclava, and a beret. Like, sometimes you can pick two of those things, but it's definitely like a vibe from that time period.
I wonder why none of these groups worked. It must have nothing to do with the fashion.
To be fair, the Zapatistas, big ski mask. Maybe it's the bobble. Maybe the bobble is what sets them apart.
Yeah, no, it's the fact that, yeah, you don't wear the beret on the ski mask. The Zapatistas look cool because they just wear the masks.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think we're united in our belief that the Zapatistas look cool. And in many ways are cool, in fact. But we're not talking about them today. We're talking about ETA. So it's an acronym, right? It's an acronym in Euskera or Basque. I don't speak Basque. It's a very hard language for me to learn, at least. I'm not going to say it's a hard language to learn, because I think that depends on who you are. But it is one that I have historically struggled with understanding. It does have a generous smattering of X's. So, you know, if you're seeing it out there, good luck to you. I will try and pronounce things as respectfully as I can. I spent a lot of time in the Basque country by gracing. I really, really love Basque people. They're very nice. I enjoy their food and their cider and their countryside. But today we're talking about this group, ETA. It stands for Euskadi Ta Askatasuna, which means like Basque homeland and liberty. Which they were going to call it ETA, but in certain Basque dialects that means duck. So they moved away from that.
That would have been so much funnier.
Yeah, it would, right? You've been ducked. But they didn't do that. They, right from the get-go, they were about like this dual process, right? Of politics and political violence. Their slogan means keep up on both sides. And their logo is like a snake wrapped around an axe. The snake is politics and the axe is, I guess, political violence, terrorism, whatever you want to call it. And over their years of action, they killed 829 people. So they're a pretty serious terrorist group, right? Like, I don't know how many people the IRA killed, but I'm thinking of groups in there. I don't think it would be that many.
I think they killed over 1,000.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I said like the entire Troubles killed like 3,500. So it's like a not insignificant fraction of that.
Yeah. I mean, the British government did a decent amount of that. And
oh, definitely.
Loyalists too.
Like, yeah, but like it's not an insignificant fraction of the total number of people who died in the Troubles. So yes. They're not like nothing.
No, but like it's only ETA up there. And look, this is much of a similar thing as we're going to see, right, where the Spanish state killed a lot of people too, and sort of armed groups acting in sort of coalition with the Spanish state. It's the safest way to say that, but certainly with the complicity of the Spanish state, played a large part in this dirty war that ETA conducted with the Spanish state, right? To understand them, you have to understand a little bit about Basque nationalism. Early Basque nationalism, we can like find the guy who really constructs the idea of a Basque nation, right? Sabino Araña is the guy. He takes what is like a language, it's a very old language, right? It predates Latin. and places where that language is spoken and takes it from like, these are the areas where this language is spoken to like, this is our nation. And all nations are created, right? Like nations don't come from the primordial soup. Like we don't evolve into one nation or another.
They're not a fabrication.
Yeah. They're constructed by like entrepreneurs of identity, bourgeois elites to some kind of false consciousness, one might say, to maybe distract people from other things.
But that's right, Zapatistas. Watch it.
We're coming for you with a woke mob. We're going to cancel you.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
Nations begin to exist when religion loses a claim on universal truth, right? This is like Benedict Anderson's speedrun. We don't need to go into the history of nationalism particularly. It's important for people to know where the Basque Land is. So the Basque Land is in the northwest of Spain and the southwest of France, right? It's these provinces where historically they're mountainous provinces. People there were often shepherds. You'll often find Basque people in the United States like growing wine or doing sheep herding. And that's their sort of historical image of themselves. And they speak this Basque language, right? So ETA come onto the scene as a Basque nationalist leftist group. Like they sort of have some elements of Marxism, but they're obviously like nationalist. They don't center Catholicism, which is what previous Basque nationalisms have done, right? Previous Basque nationalisms have been elite constructs that centered language, poetry, and Catholic identity. ETA don't do that.
That's where they're slightly better.
Yeah, right. They're better than like the Carlists, who are like, things went wrong when Spain moved away from this line of royal succession, and we need to go back to that. And like extreme religious totalitarianism and a monarchy. Like they're better than that. I feel pretty comfortable saying that. And they've done some cool stuff. Like they used to kidnap bosses who refused to negotiate with striking workers. Which like, I don't know, watch out, rail company owners. But they definitely have like a leftist lean, right? They have this sort of pan third worldist idea, or this pan sort of colonized people idea. They begin assassinating people when they take revenge for this guy who's called Chabi Estebarrieta. You can look up that name if you want to see some X's in a name. But they kill the local chief of police, right? What happened is Estebarrieta and this other guy were killed by a policeman. The police stopped them at a roadblock. They run away. The police shoot them in response. They kidnap the local chief of police, who has probably been torturing people, right? Like, you have to understand that all this is happening in the context of a Spanish state, which is extremely violent and repressive. And they kill this guy, right?
Wait, this is still under Franco, right?
Yes, no. They begin under Franco, right? So and their support probably peaks under Franco, right? Like what we're going to see is actually they are somewhat integral to not bringing down the Franco regime. And in a sense, Spain never does bring down the Franco regime, right? And I want to get into that a little bit. But in destabilizing the Franco regime. And they certainly, there was more support for this kind of political violence when the state is so obviously like undemocratic, unjust, and incredibly violent towards people, right? When they're killing members of the Guardia Civil, these are people who are torturing prisoners, right? ETA prisoners pretty often, when they're captured, turn up tortured in court, like very obviously that they have been victims of beatings and physical violence, right? And a lot of things you'll see, they also kidnap this guy, I forget his name, he's one of the founders of Vox, and they kept him in a cellar for months and months and months and months. I don't like Vox, but I also don't like locking people in cellars, so two things can be bad. Vox is a right-wing populist Spanish party, if people aren't familiar. They also did a lot of extortion. They also did a lot of extorting local businesses, right? They called it the revolutionary tax. So they got into some sort of more classic kind of organized crime stuff there. But the assassination we want to talk about today is Operación Ogro. So the way they do this is they rent this flat, right? That's an apartment for American listeners. And they rent this flat and claim to be student, like sculpting students, right? Like we're art students, we're into sculpture. That's why we're covered in dust every day and we wear these overalls. And for 5 months, they spend every day digging a tunnel underneath the road by their flat, right? And in that tunnel, they pack 80 kilograms of explosive. And what they're doing there is they're waiting for this guy, Luis Carrero Blanco, to come in his car, which he travels in every day, right? And they're going to explode that explosive and they're going to kill him. The reason they want to kill him is because they say that he is the best example of pure fascism, right? He's a former admiral. He's Spain's sort of prime minister. He's Franco's chosen successor, right? So he's going to take over from Franco. And so by killing him, they're able to destabilize the whole Franco regime. Franco cries in public when he finds out Carrero Blanco is dead. So spoiler alert, Carrero Blanco is extremely dead. The way they did this is they dressed up as electricians, which is there's a lot of dressing up in this, which is kind of fun. And they painted a little line on a wall to be like, okay, when the car gets to here, we explode it. So the car gets to there, they explode it. They launch this car over a church and it lands on the second floor terrace on the other side. Sometimes this is called like the Basque Space Program, or Luis Carrero Blanco is referred to as Spain's first astronaut.
That's really funny.
You can find a picture of it. It is hysterical. The car, like, it just goes. It is so funny.
It's fun. Periodically in Spain, like someone will be prosecuted for making this joke, this Spain's first astronaut joke. I saw it happen to someone pretty recently, like, and she had really made it a thing of making jokes. I think it's his grandchildren have noted that it's a problematic restriction of free speech that the people keep getting prosecuted for this. And a court recently found that they weren't mocking his family or his memory, but they were just pointing the objectively funny way in which he died. Which, you know, great for the court to agree that it was objectively funny that a terrible fucking person died by being blown literally sky high. His driver and his bodyguard were also killed. Shouldn't be a bodyguard for a piece of shit. But the ETA guys had disguised themselves as electricians. After the bomb went off, they ran around shouting, "Oh no, we've hit a gas pipe. Like, there's been a gas explosion. Everybody clear out."
Yeah, there sure was.
Yeah. So pretty entertaining stuff. Acting is their side passion, I guess. And like the reason they did it, they did a presser not long afterwards, wearing their outfits, which some of you may find offensive. And they cited like his irreplaceable place in the hierarchy, right? And him being this, they called him a pure Francoist. And oddly, like, ETA were not, at this point, they were less unpopular than they became later because they weren't doing quite as much extortion and they hadn't been engaging in quite as many murders of journalists, right? And you used to see this, I'll get to that later, actually. They got grudging praise from almost everyone for doing this, right? And because it really does destabilize and kind of kick their legs out from under the Franco regime. And it makes Franco cry, which I think is a laudable goal. Like, it's good to make Franco cry. Franco cry more. So they... It kind of atomizes the Francoist state, right? Between people who are, like, of this bunker tendency, who want to go hardcore and crack down, and those who are like, we don't have the ability to crack down. Like, we'll lose all popular support if we do that. And it really sort of vaporizes the consensus for what to do after Franco dies, which he does a few years later. I want to point out that people will, you'll read these articles on like popular news websites or like, you know, like hot take websites where they're like, oh, this car bomb launched Spain into democracy. Don't do that. I think, first of all, the major error with that is the idea that Spain, quote unquote, transitioned to democracy. When you have a pacted transition where the people who did the war crimes in the previous regime are specifically not prosecuted and exempt from prosecution, that's not what democracy looks like. I think the most accurate way of describing where Spain is a post-dictadura, like a post-dictatorship. And Spain is still there now. Like, we see that with these prosecutions for mocking him, right? With the fact that there are people in Spain who are still in prison for mocking the crown. Yeah, like, that's not what democracies do.
Good thing that could never happen in Britain.
Yeah, look, you won't find me. You won't find me defending that either. But we don't make a big industry of talking about Britain's transition to democracy. Maybe don't talk about transitions at all, given the powerful turf discourse in Britain. But yeah, I think it's problematic that folks talk about this like, yay, Spain is fixed. Like, Spain has some dark shit that it needs to process. Like, it was not until the middle of the last decade that we started exhuming the graves from the Civil War. And that's still highly contentious, right? You still have a political party that that doesn't want to do that. Spain is still processing the fact that the Catholic Church took babies away from people who it considered to be leftists and gave them to people who it considered to be more appropriate to raise them. It's called Niños Robados if you want to look it up. But yeah, Spain not transitioning to democracy, and I want to make like that very clear. Some of the other shit that ETA does is really, this is where they start to lose any claim to being like a liberation movement, right? Like, they bombed an hipercourt, that's like bombing a target for American folks, in Barcelona, and they killed 21 people. Now, I will say, this is exemplary bad policing. They called the cops and were like, hey, we've put a bomb underneath the supermarket. You all ought to clear it out. And the cops were like, oh, I can't tell if that's a real threat or not. And as a result, didn't do anything. And as a result, the bomb went off underneath the supermarket and 21 people died, right? They also alerted a newspaper in Catalonia beforehand. Reporters Without Borders still for a long time classified Spain as a place that was hostile to journalists because of the attacks on journalists by ETA, right? Also, the state isn't hostile to journalism, but I want to point out that they killed journalists, they killed university professors who disagreed with them, they killed local councillors, and it was some of these very unpopular murders which really sort of stripped support from them. And one thing that the Spanish state did, or a couple of things the Spanish state did that really were extremely repressive against ETA, was they would move Basque prisoners out of the Basque homeland and sort of hold them thousands of miles away from their families, like in the Canary Islands and shit. Like you're probably closer to Africa than you are to your home country when they do that, right? And you would often see, I don't know if maybe you guys have seen this, it's a white flag. It's got an outline of the Basque land. It's got an arrow and it says Euskal Presoak, Euskal Herria. Have you seen that at like protests? No, if you'd been at the protest I was at, but like, you know, in like the early 2000s in Europe, you would see that flag a lot. It just means Basque prisoners to the Basque homeland. Like a lot of people got behind that who might not have got behind other things that ETA did, right? But it does seem deeply inhumane to move these people so far away from their families. It's sort of an extra punishment. The Spanish state also had this thing called GAL. GAL is Grupo Antiterroristas de Liberación. So I guess like Anti-Terrorist Liberation Group. And these were death squads, right? These were death squads aided and abetted by the police. ETA enjoyed like a safe space in France, I guess, or like a freedom from prosecution. Certainly under Franco, France was like, you know what? Franco really sucks. So you guys go ahead and send it. Do your terrorism, wear your balaclavas. I'm sure the French also objected to their beret style. But
this is a safe space for your terrorism.
Yeah, well, this is like a whole...
That's basically what they said.
This is like a whole thing with Mitterrand in France in the 70s. Like, France kind of became this weird, like they basically yes, had this they had this open policy. Where, like, there was a bunch of... Well, there are a bunch of people in Italy who got, like, falsely accused of, like, being the Red Brigades. What's that guy's name? The guy, Negri, Antonio Negri, yep, who's, like, a kind of famous theorist. His theory kind of sucks by the end, but, like, they arrest him for, like, being a terrorist, and then he gets himself elected to parliament so he can get parliamentary immunity and then flees the country to France.
Yeah, France
really had... 70s was a weird time.
Wasn't Carlos the Jackal also in Paris for a while? Yeah.
Yeah.
You love it, France. Open door policy to terrorists.
Like, this is the only cool thing France has done since 1968. Like,
yeah, you're not wrong. They invented parkour. When was that?
Oh, that was like in the
Resident X. Okay, there you go.
Okay, so the second cool thing.
Got to hand that to them.
Yeah, let's hand that to the entire country of France.
Yeah, maybe not actually, given their. Treatment of migrant diasporas in recent years. And sometimes their firefighters will go out and beat the shit into the police.
That's true.
That is very funny.
I do think we all have to give that to them.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft,
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
I wanted to maybe end with this quote from Subcomandante Marcos. So we've talked a little bit about the Zapatistas.
Yes.
So this is from a piece called "I Shit Upon." Is it "I Shit Upon the Revolutionary Vanguards of the Earth"?
Yeah,
it's something.
I mean, all the titles are like having problems translating "Total Mundo," which is like, yeah.
I couldn't find it written in the original Spanish. Maybe that's just because I was Googling wrong. And I didn't put a lot of time in it. But I found so many of Zapatista texts are preserved better in these weird English translations. And I don't know if they're written in English. It's supposed to be possible they're written in English the first time.
I don't think this one. I think this particular one's a translation.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I've tried to find it in Spanish actually, but so I'm just gonna go with the translation. I think it's probably from Libcom or a similar website with like aging red and black aesthetic vibes. But I love those websites. So it's a little bit long, but I hope you'll enjoy it. We don't see why we should have, like, the Eto were kind of like reaching out in solidarity, and the Zapatistas had previously been like, nah, dude, like, we are not the same. You are not just like aesthetic society. We are not the same people. We don't see why we would ask you what we should do or how we should do it. What are you going to teach us? To kill journalists who speak badly about the struggle? To justify the death of children for the reason of the cause? We don't need or want your support or solidarity. We already have the support and solidarity of many people in Mexico and the world. Our struggle has a code of honor, inherited from our guerrilla ancestors, and it contains, among other things, respect of civilian lives, even though they may occupy government positions that oppress us. We don't use crime to get resources for ourselves. We don't rob, not even a snack store. We don't respond to words with fire, even though many hurt us or lie to us. One could think that to renounce these traditionally revolutionary methods is renouncing the advancements of our struggle. But in the faint light of our history, it seems that we have advanced more than those who resort to such arguments. Like, I deeply enjoy this critique. You can look it up. Eto was big on killing people who were tangentially related to the regime in any way, which I don't agree with. We should also add that they more or less definitively stopped doing stuff in 2018. They had a press conference, and in their press conference, actually, Arnaldo Otegi, who was a former member, said that they wanted to express their sorrow for the pain and suffering other people have endured. He goes on, like, we feel their pain, and that sincere feeling leads us to affirm that it should never have happened. Like, sure, buddy, you want to say sorry because you did terrorism. But I do think that, like, we're talking about assassinations, going to be talking about assassinations all week. There are ways to do leftist political struggle that are not killing random civilians and their friends and family members and bombing supermarkets, and those are the better ways. But making Franco cry is good. Sending Franco's successor into near-Earth orbit is pretty funny. So we enjoy that one, at least, if not everything.
I think it is worth pointing out, like, we've made this pretty obvious by that line, but Eta does not get a free Basque homeland. The Zapatistas have actually taken and still control territory, a thing that none of these, like, weirder guerrilla groups ever pulled off. So, you know.
Yeah. They don't even get majority support, really, at any point.
Yeah.
Occasionally there'll be people who are like, yeah, you know what? Like, I agree with some of what they say, but their tactics are deeply flawed. You know, these keeping people, like, torturing people, that kind of thing. And the context of the dirty war with the state is important, but yeah, they don't succeed, right? And I don't think you do succeed by extorting the people you're claiming to liberate. That generally doesn't work well. So up the Zapatistas, I guess.
Yeah, that seems like a good place to end.
Yep, cool.
Yeah, okay. So this has been It Could Happen here. Join us tomorrow for more assassinations, and also the day after that, the day after that, and the day after that.
Yep. Can't wait.
It Could Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.